free Friday edition of the show. You take control of the airwaves. Toll free, 800-259-9231. And what you want, being here with you.
And Mark?
1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site, we give it away. It's freetalklive.com. So enjoy it. It's free. All right, we're jumping into the emails here, Mark, because you know what? I've got a lot of them, and I need to catch up on them. In fact, I'm so backed up on emails, I haven't even read some of them for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Like, they've just been stacking up.
You do get a lot of stuff in that FTL at freetalklive.com
email. I've got two email boxes. There's the show email box, the FTL box, and then there's the Ian email box as well, so I got my hands full. Anyway, I think it's Joe, J-O-H-N-N-A. Sounds like Johanna, but there's not an extra A in there. So Jonah, I guess. Anyway, I started listening to the show close to 2 months ago. Since then, I've started to have some internal conflicts. You see, I work for the government. I wouldn't consider myself a bureaucrat in that I do come to work every day and actually work. I don't hassle the public or treat them poorly. And maybe that comes from me working in private businesses before working where I do now. I never realized how big of a bureaucracy I was working in until I noticed that documents go through 3 people's hands before they get to mine. Then they go through at least 2 more processes before a check is actually written. I work in fund accounting for a county in California. Yes, it's sad, but true. And by the way, my suspected reason why she's so cheerful as a bureaucrat is because she's partially right, because she has worked in private in a private place before. She's worked in a private business before this. That's good. That helps you understand customer service and incentive and all that. But also, I think the newer you are in bureaucracy, the more friendly you are. For instance, you can around here in Keene, New Hampshire, where we live at, the few interactions I've had with bureaucrats have been fairly pleasant. I think there's 2 factors there. I think one, that many of the people we've interacted with have been young ladies. So they're new to the workforce in general. They aren't jaded by the bureaucratic system as much yet. The longer you remain a bureaucrat, the more worthless you become, essentially. I think that's a factor. And also the fact that it's a smaller government than the place where we come from, I think is also a factor as well.
I think the more bureaucratic bureaucrats tend to rise to the top to some extent, too.
Yeah, sure.
If you really know how to work the old system, you'll be at the top, not the bottom.
Recently, I was asked to leave a mandatory employee meeting when I pointed out to the county administrative officer that he had some fallacies in his plan. He wants to make the county less bureaucratic while still crossing T's and dotting I's. I'm sorry, but there's nothing you can do in county government that's not bureaucratic by nature. Government is a bureaucracy by definition, she says, and I asked if he meant that the Board of Supervisors was going to step down, and so was he, so the county could be run privately. Well, he didn't like that suggestion very much.
I bet he didn't.
You see, I fall into what he describes as a 5%er. He says 5% of the people cause 95% of the problem. He also says that you're either with him or against him.
Oh,
and if
God.
You're against him, then you won't be with the organization much longer. So this is typical, by the way, being targeted for pointing out inefficiency in the bureaucracy. They don't
sure
like
is.
That sort of thing.
Just read a story about a guy in Iraq today who got fired because he was pointing out inconsistencies and that kind of thing.
Yep. So. And we had the story last night about somebody who wasn't even a member of the government. Somebody who pointed out how inefficient the security system is in the airports, and he had his house raided. And his house was trashed. Because the government doesn't like being shown, doesn't like having how inefficient and stupid it is pointed out. Anyway, he says, or she says rather, so I guess since I show up to work on time and do my job, sometimes skip breaks, answer the phones quickly and courteously, answer questions, and go above and beyond the bare minimum drool wiping most employees do, I'm a problem. When I pointed out all of the money he was wasting on this training session, bare minimum $1 million, not to mention the work that isn't getting done while employees are at these meetings, and the fact that we have customer service training in each department already and we're told how to treat the public during orientation, he asked me to leave. Anyway, that whole thing leads me to my real reason for writing this email. I can't leave the country because I need the health care for my mother. I can't leave the county, rather, because I need the health care for my mother. Because one of the reasons why a lot of people get government jobs is because of the benefits.
Yeah, the government intends to make it does a very good job of indentured servitude. They don't pay particularly well for the low-end employees, but they really give great benefits. Really, really great benefits. And it's difficult to leave for that very reason.
She says, my mother has some serious health problems and is unable to work. Working for the county, I'm able to provide her with health insurance so she can have surgeries to try to give her some sort of life. You see, she has tumors growing in her spinal cord, as well as multiple sclerosis. The combination makes her unable to sit up for more than 2 hours at a time. Yeah, that's rough. Here's my major question. For people who are handicapped, be it mentally or physically, how are they supposed to get care if there's a total free market? They may be completely unable to work, be it due to mental retardation or by physical limitations. How would that work? They wouldn't be able to pay for care outright, and family members might not be able to afford the health care coverage for them either. Do you have any ideas?
In her case, a family member is able to help out because that family member has a job. I think that many companies, if they weren't being taxed to death, would have an opportunity to pay the employees more. Mm-hmm. I mean, money's going out the door to the government. It could go out the door to employees. I don't see why it would necessarily go in the pocket of an employer because they have to make their business more competitive. So I would think wages would go up if taxes went down.
Also, isn't there insurance out there that you can buy for lost wages, essentially? Like if you come down with some sort of calamitous disease?
Well, there's insurance you can buy for anything.
Right. So wouldn't insurance be a possible solution here to where people are encouraged to sign up for this insurance policy to where if you you pay in for this to this policy, you're going to get rewarded if you come down with some sort of multiple sclerosis or spinal cord problem or whatever the debilitating disorder is that you develop. That would pay for the bills. It wouldn't necessarily be health insurance per se as much as it would be just, chronically debilitating disease insurance or something like that. That's one solution. But for those who don't buy the insurance, what about them? What about the people that, didn't think to buy the insurance or just made the wrong choice?
Mm-hmm.
How do we help those people out?
There'll be charities.
Well, there are charities. Well, what about, how can you be sure that people with multiple sclerosis won't be crawling through the streets?
Well, this is the most charitable country on earth. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me that we wouldn't, with more money in our pockets, contribute to people that are less fortunate than ourselves. I mean, you can look at that typhoon thing they had over there in Southeast Asia, and we sent all kinds of money over there.
To people that we didn't even know.
Hurricane Katrina sent millions down there.
It was hundreds of millions to Thailand was what we sent. To people that we would never see in our entire lives. I mean, we're so charitable. If we are allowed to keep every dollar we earn, I know that if I was, if I had a job and I had a 25% taken out of my paycheck every week by the government, I would be more likely to give more money to charity if I actually was able to keep 100% of my paycheck. And I think that a lot of people feel that way. And in fact, even if you believe that that people won't do that, which is ludicrous. There's also businesses like Walmart. I mean, there's evidence that people act this way, that act charitably. Businesses, for-profit, greedy corporations like Walmart, were busily helping people during Katrina, or they were trying to. They sent entire trucks full of ice and water to New Orleans, only to have them turned away by the government. But why would they spend so much money on, sending water to people? Well, maybe it's because they want to be seen as though they care about people, so those individuals that they helped and the individuals that saw the fact that Walmart was helping thought to themselves, Walmart's not so bad after all. Maybe I'll shop there. And therefore, they did it because they have an incentive to profit. Same thing here. For instance, if your grandmother didn't have health insurance and she came down with multiple sclerosis
or
the spinal cord, or your mother came down with this debilitating disease, maybe Walmart would step up and say, hey, this you should have had insurance, but since you didn't, we're going to jump in here and we're going to take care of your mom for you. Because we can. Because we've made enough profit, thank goodness. Thankfully, people make profits at business to where they can do charitable things like this. And if you don't, and the final point is, if you don't believe that people are charitable, why do you believe that government will work? I mean, why is it that if people aren't charitable, why is it that you think that people in the positions of power are going to be the charitable ones? How is it that those who are seeking positions of control over others, over control over finances, are more charitable than anyone else? Wouldn't it make sense that if people aren't charitable, that the most greedy, corrupt ones would be seeking those offices? The whole thing about government charity is a contradiction. 800-259-9231. I hope I'm making sense. More's on the way. You take control. It's Free Talk Live.
It's a combination of the best that public broadcasting has to offer
and NFL football.
We should pass a law mandating a cooling-off period after the next 9/11 type attack. We know we're going to get hit again, and we know we're going to freak out and pass Patriot Act 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then we're going to feel bad that we acted in the heat of the moment.
Beating the ideas into the turf until something breaks. Common Sense with Dan Carlin.
Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Do you forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night? How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's memory master, Matthew Girk, and I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it. Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-761-3669. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-761-3669. 1-800-761-3669.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. 800-259-9231. That's the toll-free number. You bring up what you want. 800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark,
you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Get signed up for the updates. And you'll know whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show. That's updates.freetalklive.com to get signed up. Updates.freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Liberty Forum, the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, which you can register now for. It's happening February 23rd to 25th. Meet libertarian superstars like John Stossel, Michael Badnarik, and many more. The most influential libertarians in America will be there, and us too. FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum to get registered and learn more. That's FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum as we go to the phones to the fun. Liam in Sweden. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Liam. Liam in Sweden.
Calling Sweden.
Liam going once. Liam in Sweden going twice. Alrighty then. Well, now here's a story that I never thought I'd see, Mark. And in fact, I'm questioning its authenticity. A soldier who killed the father of a lifelong friend in a frenzied attack after suffering a psychotic reaction to homegrown cannabis has been jailed for 10 years in Great Britain, according to the Telegraph. Paratrooper Laurie Draper, it's got a stink to be a man named Laurie, bludgeoned 53-year-old school teacher Paul Butterworth with a pair of garden shears. How do you bludgeon someone with garden shears? Doesn't bludgeoning mean to hit over the head, essentially?
I guess, and maybe you could hold it on the bladed end and hit them with the double handles?
If you've got garden shears, shouldn't you be stabbing someone? Look, not that I know anything about, killing people, but... Anyway, allegedly killed the guy after smoking pot at the man's home. He was at Butterworth's home when he smoked the weed and then killed him, allegedly. Now,
very strange.
The paratrooper...
It could have been laced with anything.
That's what I was thinking. Draper was jailed at St. Albans Crown Court today after admitting manslaughter on the grounds that his mental state had been affected by Mr. Butterworth's homegrown high-strength drug. So it was actually the victim's weed that he smoked. The court heard that the Iraq War veteran, originally from Leicester, but based in wherever, was suffering from a cannabis-induced psychotic mental state when he smashed the 3-foot loppers into Mr. Butterworth's head and body. Jailing Draper, a lance corporal with more than 8 years exemplary service, the judge told him, "Your conduct became at first strange, then alarming, then delusional. Resisting attempts to calm you down, you attacked Paul Butterworth." Draper, the judge added, also tried to attack Butterworth's son, Ashley. Boy, just a whole story full of people with the wrong type of name.
Yep.
When he tried to drag his now dead father's body away from the vicious onslaught, Ashley was forced to flee to save his own life. The judge added, "He did what he could to protect his father. No one could have expected him to do more. Some of the blows landed on him, and fearing for his life, he desisted, leaving you to beat the brains out of his unfortunate father and eventually to drag his body, mutilated and barely recognizable, to the living room sofa. This was an appalling attack of extreme and persistent violence, and I have no doubt that it would not have happened had you not consumed cannabis." Anyone who unlawfully takes a dangerous mind-altering controlled drug and who then finds that his mind is altered in unexpected and undesired ways must take responsibility for his subsequent actions. That I agree with. I don't think that you should be able to say, "Oh, I was drunk. You know, I only hit you because I was drunk, Mark." I don't think that's an excuse for violent behavior. I don't think being under the influence of anything is an excuse. So I agree with that part. But the part I find really questionable is that this man was violent while on cannabis.
Very strange.
I suppose it's possible. I mean, I suppose it's possible that he's just a really, really violent guy in the first place, and for some reason he just snapped. But we've never heard a story like this in the past. Never. Now, it's possible also, as you said, Mark, that this joint that they smoked, or whatever it is that they smoked, was also laced with PCP. Now, in the case of it was laced with PCP or something like that, then it sounds like a very realistic possibility that he could have snapped.
Yeah, that could have happened.
Mr. Butterworth, who would have celebrated his 54th birthday that week, was described in court as a laid-back man who loved animals and children and who smoked his homegrown cannabis to relax. Well, it's clear that Mr. Butterworth didn't have any psychotic episodes as a result of this pot. And a statement read to court in the court to Ashley Butterworth telling his two children about their grandfather's death was, quote, "the hardest thing he ever had to do." What do you think about this? Is this true? Is this for real? Have you ever encountered a pot smoker who was violent after the fact of smoking weed? I suppose it's possible. I just have never heard of such a thing.
You know, it could be a case of one in a billion or something like that, mm-hmm. but it would have to be. That would be the only option.
Yeah.
I've certainly never heard a story like this before. I've never heard anyone tell of a story like smoking weed and getting violent. It's some strange to me.
No, normally when people smoke weed, they want to sit back and chill out. They don't want to go out and do, you know.
Some people get paranoid and want to go home or, you know, go sit someplace quietly or something like that, but it's not dangerous.
No, I've never seen anybody do anything remotely violent after smoking marijuana. I've seen plenty of violent behavior when alcohol was involved.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe they were crossing alcohol with marijuana. Maybe there's some other factors here that we weren't aware of.
Never seen that either.
Yeah, me neither. So if you have, I would love to hear from you at 800-259-9231. But this is just yet another, this is going to be another excuse for the drug banners to say, look, we told you this drug was bad.
We found one finally.
One case. If it weren't for marijuana, this man would still be alive today. Of course, that ignores the hundreds of thousands of individuals who have been jailed for smoking marijuana,
that's
for possessing marijuana. That's right. That's this year. It's been probably 20 million over the past couple decades. It ignores all of those tragedies. Those people, their lost time. They're lost jobs in many cases. If you get arrested for marijuana, there's a good chance you're going to lose your job.
Well, if the fact that it makes someone violent is the reason that we're keeping it illegal, then why do we have alcohol legal? I mean, that's not the reason.
Great point.
It's not the reason.
And actually, Bordoff's making a great point as well, because he is a soldier, meaning that he has years of indoctrination on how to kill people. So that could be a factor as well.
Mind bent.
So there's plenty of soldiers that smoke marijuana also. And these things don't happen.
Yeah.
800-259-9231. Matthew emails in. He says, the other night you said something to the effect of animals have no responsibility to each other and therefore cannot possibly have rights. I'm just wondering if responsibility is a prerequisite for having rights. I know you're unsettled on the notion of rights to begin with, but I'm curious as to why a lack of responsibility would negate any rights. He says, and it's an interesting, very detailed issue. For instance, does a retard have responsibility?
Well, not much. I mean,
not really.
Well, you know, if they go around touching the wrong parts of the wrong people, they're going to get in trouble.
Right.
And that trouble may include institutionalization, even if it doesn't include jail.
But they don't really understand the responsibility factor.
I think they do understand it to some extent. I mean,
depends on how retarded they are.
You would have to be pretty darn retarded not to understand. I mean, they manage to figure it out.
Do babies have responsibility?
Not really.
But do babies have rights?
Yeah, I would say some.
So therefore, you can have rights without responsibility, in which case, how do the babies get the rights without having a responsibility, if indeed responsibility is a prerequisite for rights? We'll explore all of this coming up here. 800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever you want. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
With energy costs on the rise and cooler weather around the corner, isn't it time to replace your home's windows? Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilted easy for cleaning, and may also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and ask about our special financing terms. You can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you have come to expect for over 100 years, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call now for your free in-home consultation. Offer ends 12/30/06. Subject to applicant credit worthiness. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now. 1-800-393-8378. Ask about our special financing terms. That's 1-800-393-8378.
Do you know the secrets to making money on the internet and with online auctions? People are making so much cash on the internet, including the internet's largest marketplace, eBay, that they're actually quitting their jobs. And so can you, with a CD called The Secrets to Online Auctions, which is yours absolutely free of charge by calling right now 1-800-889-2994. Hurry, there's only a limited number of these free CDs available. 1-800-889-2994. This free CD is brought to you by Internet Speedway, a group of professionals who've made fortunes with the Internet and sites like eBay. Now, for the first time, they're sharing their tips with the general public. With this free CD, you'll learn how you can sell products on the Internet that you'll never have to see, store, or even pay for. Learn the simple strategies to online auctions from the professionals. Request your free CD called The Secrets to Online Auctions while supplies last. Just call 1-800-889-2994. The sooner you call, the sooner you'll know the secrets to true internet wealth. That's 1-800-889-2994.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Thanks to a quantum leap in garlic research, the health benefits of 20 fresh garlic cloves are now available in one tiny capsule. With stabilized allicin, the proven power of garlic has been transformed into what is perhaps the most important medicinal product ever developed, and there's no odor. Stabilized allicin gives you and your family a safe, natural weapon that kills harmful bacteria, viruses, and funguses, all without harming the friendly bacteria in the digestive tract. This means strong immunity, fewer and shorter colds, and the best possible protection from deadly diseases, none of which prescription drugs can offer. What's more, this product can deter mosquitoes from biting you and safely keep fleas and ticks off your pets. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on GCNlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
It's Free Talk Live. You take control of the airwaves. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. Izzy in here with you.
And Mark.
And you can bring up whatever's on your mind. That's the point of the show. That's why we call it Free Talk Live. 800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com and participate in the Free Talk Live poll. Go to poll.freetalklive.com to tell us how old you are, because we don't know. Unless you tell us how old you are. And currently, the poll is skewing to about where we expected it to, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah. It's Johnson made a good point that the show... We've always thought that the show sort of skews male 18-34.
Yeah.
And the poll's definitely skewing male 18-34.
It sure is.
But Johnson made a great point that BBS's bulletin boards like ours...
Forums
have a tendency to skew male 18-44. And, one other... that libertarians are... Talk radio does, libertarians do, and then... the forum does, so, you know, all those things kind of weed out everybody else who might respond to the poll.
Though we are pushing it on the air, so everyone who's listening is aware of poll.freetalklive.com, and signing up for the bulletin board system is not a difficult process.
It's not.
So we are driving everyone to the poll, everyone who's interested in participating, that is.
Right, and you have to sign in because we can't have just somebody going in.
Some random schmo.
Guest after guest. And like the same person could just keep on coming in as a guest and clicking on the same poll and mess up our numbers.
They still could if they wanted to, but it would take longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, head on over there, poll.freetalklive.com. We're trying to find out what our demographics are. We sort of know, but we just wanted to be sure. And also you can vote for the show as well. We'll tell you more about that coming up here. 800-259-9231, in the midst of an email, actually, about rights. And as the emailer points out, I'm not so sure that there is such a thing as rights. I like the concept.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the emailer.
Right. The email's pointing out that I think that.
Right.
And even though he's asking, because I've suggested that if there is such a thing as rights, that responsibility is also required in order to have rights. And so therefore, he's asking, well, if that's the case, you know, would a lack of responsibility negate rights in the case of, for instance, an infant or a retarded person? Because they don't have responsibility, certainly not the same level of responsibility as the rest of us, do they have the same rights?
And excellent questions all.
It is an excellent question. And presuming that there are rights, and again, I'm not sure if there are, presuming there are rights, then I think that essentially what happens is we grant those rights to those who can't claim them for themselves. So, for instance, when it comes to a baby, we know that eventually they're going to grow up into a full-thinking adult person who can then claim the rights for themselves. But in the meantime, we sort of stake that claim for them. The same thing with a retarded individual. We're sort of staking that claim to help protect them as a human being.
A retarded person doesn't enjoy all the same rights, certainly not it's called a privilege by the government, but I would think to some extent...
We're not talking about privilege.
It's a right to be able to drive. I mean,
it's not a right to drive. It's a privilege to drive. That's why they have driver's licenses.
It would be a right to drive on your own property.
It would.
But I understand what you're saying. So, I mean, they're not afforded that. Do you like the idea of retarded people, really, really retarded people, having the right to bear arms?
No more than I like the idea of an infant the right to bear arms.
I don't like that either.
So now we're arguing for the fact that there are no rights.
Rights are confusing.
At least it's undefinable as far as the parameters of these things. But the reason he brings it up is because of the animals issue.
Right.
Because people are concerned as to whether or not animals have rights. He goes on to say, a counterexample, I believe in rights, and I believe that that people have some rights. I even believe that severely retarded people have the same rights, regardless of their lack of capacity for responsibility. Same goes for an infant. I'm unsure of what, if any, I believe an animal might have, but I guess I see the same logic applying to non-humans as well. I really think that, again, if there is such a thing as rights, and I believe that we somehow apply it to these people that can't claim it for themselves, and I guess, therefore, you could claim that you could apply it to animals as well, but I think only animals within your purview. You know, for instance, it's more property than it is rights than anything else. Like, this is my baby, this is my retarded child, this is my dog. You don't have the right to take them from me because they're my property. Well, I think it's more based on property than anything else.
Rights are agreements. They're things that people agree on. I agree that you have rights so that you agree that I have rights. So that we agree that everyone has rights.
And most people,
so everyone agrees that we have rights.
Most reasonable people would agree that we have rights, but not violent, you know, fascistic, sadistic people. Those people wouldn't necessarily agree.
Well, they agree.
They would agree. They have the right to take your life.
They agree because they know that they aren't going to have rights. Otherwise, they just choose to violate your rights. Like, I can say you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and then I can punch you in the mouth.
Right.
Like, that's not in any... It's not, you know, I mean, it's just... it's incongruous, but I'm just agreeing to... I'm agreeing you have rights, and then I'm choosing to ignore that.
I see.
So... Most people will, even the people with, helmets and machine guns, will say, well, you've got rights. You have the right to free speech. Now shut up. That's essentially the way they do it.
Or they could say, I have the right to see your papers.
Right. And
they could just create whatever rights for themselves they want to.
They do see this. They do that. Now,
the problem with rights is getting everyone to agree.
I want to get on to the animals point.
Okay.
Now, animals don't have that agreement with us, nor do they have that agreement with each other. They live in a state of nature.
Mm.
The state of nature is, I'm going to go out and find things to eat.
Yes.
Some animals find things to eat by things that move, and some animals find things that eat by things that grow.
Or in a bowl in the kitchen.
Well, yes.
Right.
But that's not really the state of nature. That's just, they've been
it's
taken out of
nature.
The state of nature, but they don't understand much beyond the state of nature.
They're still finding something to eat.
If I was small enough, Senior Grouchy Pants would eat me.
Yes.
I mean, the only reason he doesn't is because... You know, the 108...
If you were dead, he would be tearing at your entrails.
If I was dead long enough and he didn't have any dry, crunchy cat food, he probably would.
Yeah, he'd be eating your eyeballs.
You know, and I mean, the only thing that keeps me alive is that I'm a 180-pound hairless monkey.
Right.
You know, and I mean, and I keep his food bowl.
If you were a baby, he'd sleep on your face. That's a myth. Urban legend.
I think a baby could get a cat off of its face.
That's just an urban legend that cats will fall asleep on babies' faces to kill them.
I see.
Anyway.
Well, the cat... You know, I'm not so sure about that because I try to move them on the covers, and 22 pounds this cat is.
But you're right. The animals haven't agreed
like
with us.
There either.
The animals haven't agreed. They haven't set out. You know, there hasn't been a meeting between the minds here as far as what rights they should have compared to us. I mean, we can grant them protections if we own them. If they are our property, we can give them whatever sort of level of protection we want to. And conversely, you can also kill them if you want to, if they're your property. And that's what bugs the people that believe that animals have rights. They don't. And let's go on and actually, because one of our emailers wants to address this.
Okay.
And he said, with all your recent talks on animal rights, I thought I'd send you an article that I came across about a year ago. It helped me understand better the philosophical roots of the animal rights movement. Animal Rights versus Human Rights by Edwin Locke, Ph.D. Rights can only be held by beings who are capable of reasoning and choosing. Human life versus animal life. This fundamental conflict of values was dramatized on June 23rd in Washington, D.C., when an animal rights march was opposed by AIDS victims marching in support of research on animals.
Hmm.
It is an indisputable fact that many thousands of lives are saved by medical research on animals. But animal rightists don't care. PETA, for instance, makes this frighteningly clear. Quote, even if animal tests produced a cure for AIDS, we'd still be against it. Such is the humanitarianism, so-called, of animal rights activists. How do these advocates try to justify their position? As someone who's debated them for years on college campuses and in the media, I know firsthand that the whole movement is based on a single, invalid syllogism. Namely, men feel pain and have rights. Animals feel pain, therefore, animals have rights. This argument is entirely specious, because man's rights do not depend on his ability to feel pain. They depend on his ability to think. For instance, if you had your pain receptors disconnected, would that all of a sudden negate your rights? Silly. We're going to come back with more. He's got some really great points, I think, on the way here. 800-259-9231, somebody who's actually done the research and who's debated these fools for the longest time. We'll get his thoughts here on whether or not animals actually do or do not have rights. 800-259-9231 with your thoughts as well. Do they or don't they? What do you think? It's Free Talk Live. Take control of the airwaves.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die, with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, you can take control of the airwaves, bring up what you want. Toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. We want you to amp the show at amp.freetalklive.com. It's voluntary, of course. We give away all of the features on our website for free, so the AMP program is over and above all of that. It's for those of you that want to help support Free Talk Live, help us get on more radio stations around the country, help get new listeners and encountering the message of freedom and liberty. So if that's important to you, head over to amp.freetalklive.com and amp the show. It's $3 a month, and it's up to you. Also, a much less expensive way, not that AMP is very expensive, but even an even cheaper way to support the show is to vote for us. Go to vote.freetalklive.com. Another great way to help people experience the message of freedom and liberty is to go to vote.freetalklive.com. Cast your vote for the show. It helps keep us in the top 10 podcasts of the world. I believe we're currently ranked at number 2, and we could be at number 1 with your vote. Vote. freetalklive.com. As we continue with Edwin Locke, Ph.D. from the Ayn Rand Institute, his opinion on animal rights versus human rights. As he points out, rights can only be held by beings who are capable of reasoning and choosing. And he's talking about people like PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and their position on so-called animal rights. He says rights are ethical principles applicable only to beings capable of reason and choice. There's only one fundamental right, a man's right to his own life. To live successfully, man must use his rational faculty, which is exercised by choice. The choice to think can be negated only by the use of physical force. To survive and prosper, men must be free from the initiation of force by other men. Of course, is what we are looking for here on Free Talk Live. It's the basis of all libertarian theory, the idea that it's wrong to use force on others for political or social goals. The only time force is appropriate is, of course, in self-defense. Anyway, the choice to think can be negated only by the use of physical force. To survive and prosper, men must be free for the initiation of force by other men, free to use their own minds to guide their choices and actions. Rights protect men against the use of force by other men. None of this is relevant to animals. Animals do not survive by rational thought, nor by sign languages allegedly taught to them by psychologists. They survive through inborn reflexes and sensory perceptual association. They cannot reason. They cannot learn a code of ethics. A lion is not immoral for eating a zebra, or even for attacking a man. Predation is their natural and only means of survival, and they do not have the capacity to learn any other. Only man has the power to deal with other members of his own species by voluntary means, rational persuasion and a code of morality rather than physical force. To claim that man's use of animals is immoral is to claim that we have no right to our own lives,
and that we must sacrifice our welfare for the sake of creatures who cannot think or grasp the concept of morality. Now, I think it's a little insulting to suggest that animals can't think. I think they absolutely can. In fact, I've seen examples of that happening. Nonetheless, he goes on. It's to elevate amoral animals to a moral level higher than ourselves. I think it's certainly true that they don't have morals. They can't even conceptualize.
No, I don't think they do.
A flagrant contradiction, he says. Of course, it's proper not to cause animals gratuitous suffering, but this is not the same as inventing a bill of rights for them at our expense. And, of course, he's suggesting that if we were to give these animals all of these rights, the human race wouldn't be able to advance. The granting of fictional rights to animals is not an innocent error. We do not have to speculate about the motive, because the animal rights advocates have revealed it quite openly. Again, a quote from PETA. Mankind is the biggest blight on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe that a human has a right to life. I would rather have medical experiments done on our children than on animals. Unquote.
Good Lord.
These self-styled lovers of life do not love animals. Rather, they hate men. Animal rights terrorists are like the Unabomber and Oklahoma City bombers. They're not idealists seeking justice, but nihilists seeking destruction for the sake of destruction. They don't want to uplift mankind, to help him progress from the swamp to the stars. They want mankind's destruction. They want him not just to stay in the swamp, but to disappear into its muck. There's only one proper answer to such people, to declare proudly and defiantly in the name of morality a man's right to his life, his liberty, and the pursuit of his own happiness. Your thoughts, Mark?
It makes sense. It's an issue that it always gives me pause. Do animals have rights? And I can't figure out why they don't, but I don't believe they do.
Well, he just pointed out, because they don't have the capacity to reason.
Well, that's what he says.
And to choose. Although, I've certainly seen animals choose. I think they can choose, and I think they can think, but nonetheless... to suggest that we should stop progress in the name of animals is absolutely ludicrous. Let's talk to Johnson in Florida. You're on... wait a minute. Johnson, you're going to have to hold on. Jan in Alabama is on the line. Jan, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark, because ladies come first. Jan in Alabama? Jan. Oh, man. It's on for all of 2 minutes. Let's go to Johnson in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark on the Amplifier line.
Hi, Jan, you stink. All right. Didn't want to be put on hold. Anyway, I wanted to talk about that argument that rights come from being able to think, being able to reason, being able to choose. I absolutely agree. I think that rights are granted to species of sentient, that include sentient beings. Now, I think that If, for example, we were to suddenly discover that another species of animal on the planet was to suddenly have an evolutionary leap forward and become sentient and be able to communicate and speak with human beings on a rational level and demonstrated self-awareness
mm-hmm.
on a level, reasonably, one could say this is definitely a self-aware species now, we would grant them rights. They would be afforded those rights. Now,
how can we grant them rights? Who are we?
I wanted to clarify that a little bit. Rights, now, I know you said earlier that you were talking about rights being an agreement,
mm-hmm.
rights being sort of an individual contract between those that supposedly have them. I don't even know where you were going with that, because I don't think that that's true or accurate at all.
Of course you don't.
I have the general feeling that rights are... The two definitions when you look it up, they're either legal rights or moral rights. Now, a lot of people, obviously, the framers of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence said that rights are inalienable. In other words, that they are granted by a higher power, that they are granted by God.
Okay.
And a lot of people believe that. When you think about the word right in and of itself, it almost sounds like righteous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, what sorts of things are you within your rights to do? What sorts of things can you do while remaining righteous in your actions? Now, I think while rights can, I do actually believe that rights come from morality, and I don't think that morality comes from God, but I do think that rights are something that, you know, whatever your moral philosophy is, whether or not it comes from something divine, or you're somebody like me who believes in, you know, Kantian morality, you know, or the that sort of principle.
All right.
That rights are things that you are with, you know, that you can have universally with and remain moral while doing so.
What do you think about the author's suggestion that there's only one right, and that's the right to life?
I disagree.
How many rights do you think there are?
I believe that the rights are, you know, I believe in every single one of the rights that's laid out in the Bill of Rights.
Well, now, the right to life, I mean, couldn't you argue that the right to free speech and the right to bear arms, those are all rights as juxtaposed against what governments have traditionally done? I mean, in the right to life, you, in your life, can speak, you can bear arms. These are all things that you can do under the right to life. I mean, is there anything that is tantamount to the right to life? Are there any other rights that are, you know, that are in the Constitution that are tantamount there? Or are they all just sort of, are they all derived from that right? Are they all sub-rights of the right to life?
I suppose that, you know, obviously if you're not living, you can't, there's nothing else you can do. I mean, and actually, maybe even that's debatable. I don't know. I mean, maybe you could still hold property as a dead person because that property then goes on to your family. But really, I don't think that that's necessarily a valid argument because it's so very simple, it's so very basic. Like, oh, well, if you're dead, you can't have any other rights. Well, okay, fine. Granted, I accept that. But I don't think that other rights are derived from the mere fact that you're living. You know, I think that it's more important
to
say that.
Well, no, it's not the mere fact that you are living. It's more that you have the right to live.
Well,
because he's arguing that the animals don't.
Well, I'm just saying it's broader than simply just biologically being, a functioning being.
It's a hell of a confusing issue.
You have the right to actually live your life.
It's a confusing issue, and one thing's for sure, you're never going to get everybody to agree on what those rights are. Jonathan, thanks for the call, man. It's been Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online between now and the next show, which is tomorrow night, the live Saturday edition. Join us for that online in the meantime at freetalklive.com. You have the right to listen absolutely free. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Looking for profits? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
For you.